I'd like this morning to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. The book of Joshua, chapter 14. We'd like to begin reading with verse 6 through the end of the chapter, verse 15. Joshua, chapter 14, begin reading with verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. And the land had rest from war. Now, this passage, of course, centers upon a very well-known figure in the Old Testament. That is Caleb. Caleb was a part of Israel when they departed from Egypt. In other words, Caleb was there when they Red Sea was divided, which is a type of salvation. After Israel crossed the Red Sea, they journeyed in the wilderness for 40 years. From the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, there are many things that we learn. But one thing we learn for sure is that there is much more to salvation than just being set free. We learn that from the wilderness wanderings. You see, God had a land flowing with milk and honey called Canaan. It was a land of giants, a land where battles would have to be fought. But it was Israel's. If they wanted it, God had promised it to them. So Canaan represents a higher form of spiritual life. Canaan represents a taste of heaven upon earth. Canaan represents the enjoyment of God's best upon the earth. And this is what can be possessed by each and every child of God. If you do not possess that today, If you are not living in the land of Canaan today, it's your own fault. It's something that every child of God can have. And when the nation of Israel neared the land of Canaan in their wilderness wanderings, Moses, because of the unbelief of the people, sent 12 men into Canaan to see if it was like God said it was. And these men came back with a glowing report of the riches of the land. What they reported was, it's just like God said. And they brought back samples of fruit. They had clusters of grapes so large that it took 2 men to carry them. We read there in the book of Numbers. But 10 of the 12 men were focused completely upon the walled cities of Canaan. They were focused completely upon the giants who lived in the land. We read that in Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 29. The people became disturbed, and Caleb stood up. And Caleb tried to convince the people that God was able to give them the land, and that God would give them the victory. But Caleb was interrupted there in Numbers 13, verses 31 through verse 1 of chapter 14. He was interrupted by the other 10 spies and said, "No, we're not able. We're not able to go into this land." And the people believed the reports of the 10. And like many today, they were so very, very close to Canaan. They were right on the edge of enjoying the blessings of God. They had the promises of God. But instead of taking the necessary step forward and trust God and go into the land of Canaan, they turned back. So very close. Just a couple of steps, and they could have had the enjoyment of God. Because of unbelief, they turned back. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. We have the promise of God that we can have, you and I, as children of God, that we can have a life of victory here. So many of God's people, the only thing they're living for is heaven. But you see, you can have victory here. You can have victory upon this earth. That's Canaan. You can have spiritual joy right now. Many of God's people, just like Israel, various times in their lives, they are brought to the border of entering that life, of entering that life of victory, of entering that life of joy, of being able to enjoy the peace of God. They're right there. They're right on the border of enjoying fellowship with God and the power of God and the help of God and the glory of God. And there they stand right on the border. But because of unbelief, because they do not have the courage, they do not have the faith to take that step, they turn away. And they spend their lives winding and turning through a wilderness. going over the same ground again and again and again and again. Never reaching what God has promised that they can have in this life. They come near the promises of God, but they choose to live in a spiritual wilderness. And they live lives of defeat. Now, in the case of Israel, they wandered for 40 years. Until all that unbelieving generation died, except for two men, Joshua and Caleb. And then in time, God would lead this new generation. And God would use Joshua to lead this people into the land of Canaan. That began back in Joshua chapters, in the early chapters of Joshua, and he led them across the Jordan River. And again, when they crossed the Jordan River, that represents passing from one level of Christian living to a much higher level. And the first part of the book of Joshua tells us of God leading his people, the Israelites, into the promised land. And then we come to chapter 13 and through chapter 17, where our text is found in chapter 14. And the focus is now on the division of the land of Canaan and how it would be allocated to the various tribes of Israel. Now, from our text, we learn that 45 years after Moses sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan, notice in verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me. Caleb says, I was 40 years old at that time. In verse 10, in the latter part of the verse, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old, 45 years later, 40 of those years being spent wandering in the wilderness because of the unbelief of his brethren. So Caleb is 85 years old, and he reminds Joshua of God's promise. Verse 9, and Moses sware in that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. You see, he's still trusting God. In other words, he did exactly what he said he would do. 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And then he goes on in verse 12, and he says, Joshua, you see that mountain over there? That's mine, and I want it. 85 years old. He says, I want, or give me, this mountain. What Caleb was doing was simply claiming what God had promised him. The subject of the message today is, give me this mountain. We want to consider 2 points. First of all, we want to look at Caleb as an example. And then secondly, we'll just make personal application. But first of all, consider Caleb as an example. We see the request of Caleb. Give me this mountain. And as you read on, you discover that this mountain was in the land of Hebron. You see, Caleb was promised the land of Hebron. And now he's simply claiming what is rightfully his. And it is rightfully his because God promised it to him. The joy of the Lord is rightfully ours. God has promised it to us. The victory is rightfully ours. God has promised it. It's ours. We just need to take the necessary steps to possess it. Now, Hebron was a mountainous region. And as you read here, you see that the Anakims dwelt in Hebron. And they dwelt in the fortified, they had very well fortified places, even in that mountain. But Caleb had had his eye on that mountain for 45 years now. He said, God promised it to me. And it's mine. And even though the Anakims were there and the cities were great and fenced, Caleb said, give me this mountain. The Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out. That is the Anakims, as the Lord said. Give me this mountain. The very mountain that was a stronghold of an enemy. Consider the condition of Caleb. He was 85 years old. 85 years old. Who for 45 years had been promised the land of Hebron. Here is a man who had just spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And he's now 85 years old. May I say that Caleb has a right to be tired. Caleb has a right to be weary. He has arrived in the promised land. And you might expect this 85-year-old man to be satisfied with just arriving. To be content with just arriving in the promised land. And you may expect to find this individual to say, I just want to sit back and prop up my feet and enjoy this. But that's not what Caleb did. Caleb wasn't ready to sit back. Take it easy. He looks upon the mountain of Horeb, and he knew that the Anakims were there. He knew that there were powerful enemies there, and they dwelt in fortifications. But Caleb still said, Joshua, give me this mountain. This is the mountain that I want. This is the mountain that God has promised me. Not just any mountain, but a mountain controlled by a tribe of great and mighty warriors. And Caleb, 85 years old, said, Joshua, that's the mountain that I want. That's the mountain I want. You see, these were not declining years for Caleb. They were years of wanting to go higher and higher and higher spiritually. Caleb said, I want to live on the mountain. And that's where all of God's people ought to want to live. On the mountain. Granted, Caleb was still in good health. Someone said, well, if I was 85 and still in good health, I'd feel the same way. Verse 11 tells us, he says, yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so it is now. I was able to go to war then, and I'm able to go to war now at 85 years. So granted, he was a man in good health. But that's not where Caleb got his strength. Caleb got his strength because of his faith. It was not his good health that said, Joshua, give me this mountain. It was his faith in God, because he went on to say in verse 12, the Lord will be with me, and I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. The spiritual decisions that we make. And Caleb just made one. He said, give me that mountain. Spiritual decisions we make have an effect upon others for years to come. And the decision that Caleb made that day, his sons and grandsons benefited from it in their lives. All of this, of course, has personal application. Just as God promised Caleb 45 years before, that this land of Hebron is yours. God has promised us. Again, being saved is more than just being delivered from hell. Being saved means there is a life for me to live. It means that there are promises for me to claim. There are promises for me to possess as a child of God. There are mountains. There are mountains that God has promised you and I as His children. Mountains for you and I to claim. Mountains for you and I to possess. These are mountains that every child of God can have. There are mountains of spiritual abundance. God has promised all His children that you can live the abundant life. If you are not living the abundant life, it's not because of God, it is because of you. God has promised us that we can live this abundant life. We just need enough faith to say, you see that mountain over there of spiritual abundance? That mountain is mine. God promised that I can have it, and I'm not going to settle for anything less. And that should be true of every child of God. I'm not going to settle for anything less than the spiritual abundance that God has promised me. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain of spiritual abundance. Yes, the Anakims are there, but by God's help, I'll drive them out. Give me this mountain. There are mountains of greater enjoyment of the Lord. God has promised us that we can enjoy Him. And there are mountains of greater enjoyment of God. They're mine. All I have to do is claim it and do what is necessary to possess it. There are mountains of closer fellowship with God. When God saved us, He promised us that now we can have fellowship with God. There are mountains of abounding peace, the peace of God. There are mountains of greater assurance. You can have assurance today. You can live a life of assurance. You can know that it is well today. Every child of God can have that. There are mountains of greater strength. Every child of God can live their lives by the power and by the strength of God Almighty. God has promised us that. It's ours. Give me this mountain. There are promises. There are mountains of God's instruction. God has promised us that He'll teach us. It belongs to you and I. There are mountains of greater revelation of truth. Many, of course, have never claimed those mountains. Many have never possessed those mountains. There are mountains of God's comfort. God promises to comfort you and I. And if we're not living in the comfort of God, it's no one's fault but our own. He's promised us these things. There are the mountains of God's sufficiency, of God's abundant supply. God has promised us these mountains, and He has promised us these mountains in this life. You can sit back and you can wander in the wilderness all your life, and you can dream and you can say, oh, when I get to heaven, it's going to be better. Yes, it is. But don't you see, it can be better right now. You don't have to live in the wilderness as a child of God, as a child of the King. You don't have to live wandering in endless circles. There are mountains. There are mountains that God has promised you. They're yours. They're yours. Will you claim them? Will you take the necessary steps to possess those mountains? Give me this mountain. He says, Joshua, give it to me. The Lord's already promised it to me. It's mine. You see, you and I, we can be walking through the valley. We may be winding and twisting our way through the wilderness. You may be walking in the midst of the rivers. You may be walking in the midst of the fires. You may be walking in the midst of that which is very intimidating. And you may be walking in the midst of that which is overwhelming and seemingly insurmountable. But glory to God, if you'll open your eyes, you'll see that there are mountains everywhere. Mountains that God has promised you. Yes, you may be walking through the valleys, but as you walk through the valley, there's that mountain of abundant life. We need to see it and say, give me that mountain. God promised it to us. We need to claim it. No need to live in defeat. As we walk through the valleys, as we walk through in that which will intimidate us and overwhelm us, we have the promises. We have the very promises of God. We have the promises that you and I can have fellowship with God. I can have fellowship with God in the valley. I can have fellowship with God in the rivers. I can have fellowship with God in the fires. I can have fellowship with God in the trials and the tribulations. God has promised me that. It's mine. I need to claim it. Give me that mountain. Then I need to possess it. Through the valleys, through the fires, through the rivers, through the difficulties. God has promised all of His children that we can have the assurance of God. We can walk through these things. We can experience these things. And we can know it is well. Give me that mountain. The mountain of assurance. God. We walk through the wilderness. We walk through the valleys. We walk through trials and difficulties. And God has promised us that we do not have to do that in our own strength, that we can do it in His strength. His strength is ours. It's already been promised us. need to claim it. Claim the strength of God. Don't live your life being content with spiritual mediocrity. Why would you live that way? Why would any of us live that way when we can live on the mountain? We can live there. God has promised it to us. It's ours. I don't have to wait to heaven to live on the mountain. You can do that now. So do not be content. Spiritual mediocrity. Do not be content with the status quo when you can live on the mountain. And the status quo today is pitiful. The status quo of Christianity today is a life of defeat, a life of gloom, a life of sadness, a life of weakness. That's the status quo. Let us not be content with the status quo. God has promised us great things that we can have now. You know, many times we are guilty of spiritual window shopping. That's what we do. We just look. We just look at what God has provided for us in this life. And we admire it. We say, oh, boy, I wish I could have that. You can. You can. You don't need to spiritual window shop. Oh, I wish I had that much assurance. I wish I had the strength of God. I wish I had that courage. I wish I lived the abundant life. Quit wishing and do it. Take the necessary steps. Because look at your life. God has brought you more than one occasion. He has brought you to the very border of the land of Canaan. And many of you turned back and went the other way. And you've been wandering ever since. But you don't have to continue to wander. Look to your right. Look to your left. And can't you see the mountains? The mountains that God has promised you. Claim them. Possess them. They're yours. Give me this mountain. We need to say with Caleb, give me this mountain. Yes, I know that the enemies of God are there. God's going to go with me. And I, with God's help, will drive them out. And I'll live on that mountain. So we need to claim what God has promised us. There are also another, a different kind of mountains that you and I experience in our lives. There are mountains of hindrances. There are mountains of problems. Mountains of difficulties. Mountains of troubles and anguish and turmoil. Mountains of distress, mountains of sorrow, mountains of burdens, mountains of cares. But as a child of a king, you do not have to live a life of defeat, even if you're surrounded by all of those mountains we just mentioned. You don't have to live a life of gloom. Because right now, I mean right now, we have victory in Christ. running out of time, but read 1 John 5 in verse 4. What we need to do, if we have mountains of hindrances and problems and difficulties and so on, we need to face that mountain. Stand right in front of it. Look at it. Don't deny it. Don't deny the mountain is there, but face it. And realize that the Lord has already promised you the victory over that mountain. I don't have to live in the gloom of that mountain. You may have all sorts, you may have a mountainous range of problems. There may be no denying that, but I'm here to tell you today, you do not have to live in the gloom of that mountainous range. And if you do, it's because you have chosen to do so. We need to look at those mountains and say, God has already given me the victory over that mountain. And I'm not going to live in the gloom of it. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to lean upon God. I'm going to obey God. And I'm going to live a life of victory. No matter what the mountains are. And don't you see, that's the life that you and I, every one of us, as children of God, can live. We can all live victorious lives. Are you satisfied with where you are spiritually? I hope no one here is. But are you satisfied with where you are spiritually? Or do you believe? Do you believe today that there is more out there for you? Don't worry about anybody else. There is more out there for you spiritually. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that you don't have everything that God has promised you for today? You haven't claimed it. You haven't possessed it. You haven't done what's necessary to possess it. If you believe that there's more out there for you. And if you don't believe that, you are living one life of gloom. But there is more out there for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us can have more. As a child of the King, we do not have to live lives of spiritual paupers. We need to claim and possess what is ours in Christ. And oh, what an abundance we have in Christ. Now, Caleb is a type of the child of God who is willing to follow the Lord at all cost, to fight all the battles. He was willing. Are you willing today to follow the Lord at all cost? That's how you have a life of victory. Are you willing to fight the battles no matter how old you are, no matter how feeble you are? You're willing to fight whatever battles need to be fought. I want that mountain. And in order to get that mountain, I may have to drive out some enemies. But I want that mountain. And I'm not just going to sit here looking at it and dream. I want that mountain. That needs to be our mindset. I already mentioned. How many times in our own lives, we've wandered in the wilderness, perhaps not for 40 years, but we wandered. We find ourselves going in endless circles, doing the same things over and over again, creating the same results over and over again. If you keep doing the same thing, you're going to have the same results. And God in His goodness brings us to the border of Canaan. And we can see all the promises of God. And God says, it's all yours. It's all yours. You can have all that assurance. You can have all that strength. It's all yours. I promised it to you. And we say, oh, well, I've got to do such and such first. I'll be back, but I've got to take care of some things. You never come back. You turn and you wander in the wilderness. Oh, when such and such is taken care of, then I'll do it, Lord. Don't you see what you're doing? You're just turning your back on the promises of God and going back into a life of endless circles. How many times God has brought you to that border? And you knew, this is what I have to do. But you didn't have enough faith. And not having enough faith, you didn't have enough courage to step out. As bad as the wilderness can be, you and I, by nature, like what is familiar to us. It may be bad, but this is what I'm used to. Now, it doesn't make any sense. That's plain foolishness. But no matter how bad the wilderness is, all we have to do is step over. But what we do is we look way ahead. Before we know it, we're looking 5 years down the road, and God is just saying, take the first step. Take the first step. Don't worry about a year down the road. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take the step. In order to take that step, many times you have to let go. You have to let go of your reasoning. You have to let go of your thinking. You have to let go of your own ways. I'm asking you today, let go. Let go, take the step, get out of the boat, get off the porch, whatever you want to say, and just obey God. And you can enjoy a life of victory. God has given us the mountain. We need to say, give me that mountain. Claim it today. Claim the promises of God. And then do what's necessary to possess promises of God. It'll work. It'll work every time. Brother Larry, if you